Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Mem Tes. We're starting at the very top of the Yomid where the Gemara asks the Kasha, Meisvei. The Kasha is addressed to Rav Sheshes. What did Rav Sheshes say? If you go back to Mem Ches Amid Beis, yesterday's Gemara, Rav Sheshes was asked the following question. The second line from the top of Mem Ches Amid Beis, the Gemara asked, Boy, my name Rav Sheshes. Third line. Haylocha bismoil mahu. This is talking about a regular, normal carbon, where after the shechita takes place, and after the kabbalas hadam, the kahanim went and received the dam in a kli, they're taking that kli now to the mizbeach. You're normally supposed to do all of the avoida in the right hand. What happens if the kohen went and took the blood inside the mizrak, in that special kli, and he carried it to the Mizbeach in his left hand? What's the din? Rav Sheshes said, what do you mean? We have a Befeirish Mishnah, which we started off our perek, that every single Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol did one of the major avodos, which was going and burning the incense, lefnai v'lefnim, in the Kodesh Kadoshim, so it says in the Mishnah that he took the machta, that's the fire pan, in his right hand, and he took the kaf, meaning the incense, in his left hand. So you see that you can go and do avoida with the left hand, just like the Kohen Gadol took the incense in his left hand, so you can go and take the blood of a regular carbon and carry it in your left hand. That was Rav Sheshes' proof. The Gemara says, oh, so you're telling us, Rav Sheshes, it's kusha. You can do avoida with the left hand. Meisvei, I have a braisa directly on point. Let's see what the braisa says. The first of the first part of the braisa, the reisha, is basically irrelevant to our question, but the raya will be from the seifa. Now, what does it say in the reisha? Zok the braisa zor. Zor is a non-kohen. V'oinen. Oinen is someone who just lost a very close family member. Shikor, a person who is shikor. Ubal mum, someone chas v'shalom who has some sort of mum, rachman litzlan. So all of these four are posel, bekabola, ubehoylocha, ubezrika, they're posel. They're only posel on those three, kabola, hoylocha, zrika. They're not posel by shechita, because we know that shechita is ksheira bizar. Fine. But let's go now to the Sefer. V'chein yoyshev, v'chein smoil is also possible. If the Kohen, when he's doing the avoida, he's doing it sitting down, no good. Why is that no good? Says Rashi, because it says in the Pasuk, la'amoid l'shores. When the Kohen is doing the avoida, he has to be standing. He cannot be sitting. He's sitting, it's possible. But why did we bring this braisa? Because it says, v'chein smoil. If at any one of these three, the Kabbalah, the Hilocha, or the Zrika, if the Kohen does it with his left hand instead of his right hand, it's possible. Says the Gemara Tiyufta, obviously this is a knockout kasha on Rav Sheshes, because Rav Sheshes said it's kosher. We see the fact that it's possible. Okay. Very straightforward kasha, straightforward terz. But the Gemara asks now, V'Rav Sheshes hu de'oisva? It would appear from our Gemara that Rav Sheshes was not aware of this braisa. Because if he knew that the braisa said that b'smoil is posel, he never would have said b'smoil is kosher. Frekti more V'Rav Sheshes hu de'oisva? Rav Sheshes knew very well about this braisa. The Omele Rav Sheshes la'amoyre de Rav Chizda. Rav Sheshes asked the amoyre. We've had the word amoyre many times. Amoyre means the person who had the strong voice and is otherwise known as the Meturgeman. He would also interpret and translate the Shiurim of the Rav or the Rosh Hashiva for the Oilam. The typical Rav or Rosh Hashiva spoke, for instance, in Lashon HaKodesh. and he had a quiet voice. The Amoyre would go and listen to the shir quietly, and then he would project the shir out loud. He was a human form of loudspeaker, if you will. And he said it in Aramaic, or whatever the local dialect was, so people should be able to hear the shir. So Rav Sheshis asked the Amoyri of Rav Chisda, "Boy, me name Rav Chisda, do me a favor, please ask Rav Chisda, Halacha bizor mahu, what's the halacha? What's the halacha if the halacha was done by a zor, the person who carried the blood from the makam hashchita to the makam mizbeach? If it's not a kohen, is it kosher or not?" Omalei. So Rav Chisda responded, "Yes, ksheira, it's kosher. Not only that, umikra misayeni. I even have a raya from a pasuk. What's the raya from the pasuk? Vayishkatu haPesach, vayizriku haKohanim miyodim v'alviim mafshitim." It says by the Korban Pesach, they shechted the Korban Pesach, and the Kohanim took the blood mi yodom, doesn't say who the yodom is, but they took the blood mi yodom, v'yizriku, and they did a zrika of the dam on the Mizbeach. And the Levi'im, at the same time with Mafshitim, they were the ones that were stripping off the hide, the skin of the animal, from the Korbanos, from the Korban Pesach. But the important thing is it says, v'yizriku haKohanim mi yodom. So Rashi says miyodam is presumably referring to the shochtim, that the shochtim, of course, shechted. Shchit is ksheira bizar. There were kohanim that were busy doing the kabbalas hadam. The kohanim that did the kabbalas hadam handed over the mizrak to the shochtim, the zorim, and the zorim were the ones that presumably were molech the blood from the Mokum Shechita to the Kehanim who are going to do the Zrika. So the Kehanim are taking the blood Miyadam from them. Them being the Zorim that were carrying the blood. So therefore says the Gemara, I have a raya that a Zor is kosher b'hoylocha. So when Rav Chisda paskin that way, Umoysa Rav Sheshis said, Rav Yid, I have a beferish braisa, and that's the braisa which we just quoted a minute ago on the top line. What does it say in the braisa? Zor va'oinein shikr ubalmum bekabala ubehoylocha ubezrika pasul. V'chein yoyshe v'chein smoil is pasul. So what was Rav Sheshis' kasha? Rav Sheshis said, Rav Chisda, how do you say that hoylocha bezor is kosher? The first word of this braisa is zor. And then the braisa continues on. Bekabala ubehoylocha. Pasul. Oh, so the braisa addresses this question directly on its head. Zor boylocha is pasul. And obviously Rav Sheshis knew about the braisa because he's asking this question to Rav Chisda. So how, at the top of the omid, did we refute Rav Sheshis of yesterday? That Rav Sheshis said yesterday that hoylocha bismol is kosher. And then we said, well, we got a braisa. The braisa says here, beferish, that smol hoylocha is pasul. And Gemara said, tiyufta. Rav Sheshis didn't know of this braisa. Rav Sheshis used this braisa to refute Rav Chisda. And for the Gemara, basa de shama, Hoder Oisva. In fact, Rav Sheshis initially did not know about the Braisa. He only found out about the Braisa after he incorrectly paskined that Hoylocha Bismol is kosher. So then, I have a Braisa that says it's possible. As soon as Rav Sheshis heard that Braisa, he said, okay, sorry, I made a mistake. I follow the Braisa. After Rav Sheshis now became aware of this Braisa, he put that into his encyclopedic head, inside his wellsprings of knowledge and wisdom. And now, when this question about Halacha Bazar came up, he remembered the Braisa. He wanted to know what Rav Chisda holds. So he posed the question to Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said, it's kosher. And then Rav Sheshis said, I can't believe that. I learned the Braisa yesterday, or a week ago, or a month ago. The Braisa that we had at the top of the Amud, that says that if a Zor does Halacha, it's possible. So he said, you see that it's possible and not kosher. So Basa the Shama, once he heard of the Braisa, Hada Oisva, now he posed the question based on the Braisa, which he now was aware of and which he learned. Freit Yimara. Okay, so I have a Braisa against Rav Chisda. But Rav Chisda Kroka Amar. After all, Rav Chisda brought a Pasik, And it sounds like from the pasuk that the person who did the halacha were zorim, and the kahanim took it miyodam from those zorim. There's some static in the back. I suspect that it's from David Fishman. So if we can ask you to please put it on mute, that would be appreciated. Thank you very much. Yishar koyach, and good morning to you. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So our Gemara says that Rav Chisda paskined incorrectly that Hoylocha Bezor is kosher. Aye, but he brought a posik where the posik says the Kahanim took it miyodam from the hands of the Shochtim who were Zorim. And for the Gemara, the oven Maise Itztaba. Maise Itztaba means that they stood frozen in place as if they were pedestals, as if they were platforms. We've had itztva in the past. Itztva means something that protruded from the ground, like a small little hill, if you will, in the middle of the azara. So what happened was that these zorim, they took possession of the blood, they held the blood, but they stood frozen in place. They didn't move to the right, they didn't move to the left. They just waited for the kahanim that are going to do the zrika to be ready. And as soon as the kahanim were ready, they would come over to these fine attired yidin that are holding on to the blood in the mizrak. And they said, I'd like to take the blood. Of course, that's why I'm holding it. So they took it miyodam. So the bottom line is, you're right. It was zorim that were holding the blood in the mizrak. But they didn't do a maisa haylacha. Rather, they stood frozen in place. Okay, with this we've concluded the first shtickle, and we continue on now. We go back to the Hilchos Chafina of the Ktoris. Boy Rapapa, Chofen Chaveira Venos Latoich Chofnov Mahu. Mulei Chofnov Be'inan Boha Ika, Oidilma Velokach Vehevi Be'inan Boha Leka. What is this all about? So, we've quoted this pasuk numerous times since the beginning of the sugi about the Chafinas Akhtoris. It says in the pasuk, Velokach Mulei Hamachta, Gachle Eish, Mi'alam is Beach, Umloi Chofnov, Ktoiris Samim Daka, Behevi Mibes Laparotis. For those of you that like seeing the Pasuk inside, the Torah Ora Sholein brings it back on Daf Mem Zayin Omer Aleph to Daphim ago. That was the very first Pasuk quoted on Mem Zayin Omer Aleph, Alokach Malaya Machta, Umloi Chofnov, Ktoiris Samim Daka, Behevi Mibes Laparotis. Okay, so Gemara poses the following question. Under normal circumstances, it's the Kohen Gadol that does the Chafina. Chafina, remember, means he scoops up the Ketores with both hands, and then he transfers that to a ladle, to a kaf, and ultimately he brings it into the Kodesh Kedoshim. So Rabbah asks the following question. What happens if it wasn't the Kohen Gadol that did the initial Chafina? It was somebody else, another Kohen, Lemoshul the Skan. Did the chafina. So he scooped it up. And then, and then he poured it from his hand into the hands of the Kohen Gadol. Mahu, would that work? Now, one thing we have to throw in is that the Gemara is assuming for this theoretical question that the size of the hands of the Sagan, or whoever was doing that chafina, were identical to the size of the hands of the Kohen Gadol. Because in fact, if the hands of that person who's doing the Chafina is slightly bigger or slightly smaller than the Kohen Gadol's hands, l'chayre, it wouldn't work. Because we had in our Mishnah that the shiur of Chafina is HaKohen Gadol l'fi Gadloi v'Katan l'fi Katnoi, each Kohen Gadol according to his hands. So, yes, it's unlikely that two people have exactly the same size, but it's unlikely that somebody's going to do a chafina and hand it over to the Kohen Gadol. So this is more of a theoretical discussion. If you were able to identify a Kohen whose hands are exactly the same size as the hands of the Kohen Gadol, and he did the initial scooping with his two hands, and now he turns it over and spills it into the hands of the Kohen Gadol, would that work? What's the Gemara Shaila? Because the Pasuk says that the lokach maloi hamachta and umaloi chofnov, and he brings it behavior based on paroiches. It doesn't say anywhere that the Kohen Gadol has to do the chafina. It just says that he has to go and take his maloi chofnov, his two handfuls, and transfer that into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Well, These are two handfuls, because someone else filled up his hands to the brim of the two chofnayim, and therefore the chayre, it works beautifully. Yes, the two hands of the Kohen Gadol, they were full of the Ktores. Or maybe it's got to be not only the heavy mibeis laparoiches, that the Kohen Gadol brings the Ktores inside lefnai v'lefnim into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but he's also one that has to be the lokach maloi chofnav. He has to do the initial lekicha, taking the Ktores in his own hands, and not just receiving it from somebody else. Says Gemara Teiku, Tishbi Yataritz, the Gemara leaves it until Eliyahu Hanavi. Boy, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi asks now another question. Chofan, the original Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, did the Chafina. He did a great job. In fact, he took the Chafina, the two handfuls, and he already transferred it to the Kaf. So now we have a Kaf full of the Meloi Chofnayim of the Kohen Gadol. Unfortunately, Lo Yaleinu, the Kohen Gadol passed away. And now his replacement, the Sgan, is going to take over, and he's going to go and continue with the Avodah. Ma'ush Yikonis Acher B'Chafinosai. Does he have to do a brand new Chafina with his own two Yadayim? Or maybe he can be Yotzei, or he could be Nichnas with the Chafina of the first Kohen Gadol. Azoy Frek Reb Shimon Levi. Om Reb Chanina. When Reb Chanina heard this question posed, he said, Bo Uri'ei She'elas HaRishonim. Go and see. Wow. This is the Shaila asked by the earlier generation. What does he mean to say with this? So, let's take a quick look at the Rashi. Om Reb Chanina. It's roughly 5, 6, 7 lines above where we're holding in the Gemara. Om Reb Chanina says, Rashi, the Talmidim. Reb Chanina said to his Talmidim, "Bo uri'ei shehadoir hu akroin zoicha lehischakein kedoiris rishonim." See, this is a case where the question that's being posed, it's being posed by Reb Shua ben Levi. However, the new generation, meaning our generation, says Reb Chanina, we were zoicha to ask, or at least to think of the same question. Because says Reb Chanina, "She'af ani hoyisi shoyo she'eluzu." This question has been bothering me too for some time. So Reb Chanina is saying with a certain degree of pride, and he's saying to his Talmidim, Talmidim, we're doing such a beautiful job in learning Masechtas Yuma with Ba'amkus, with really trying to understand every iota, every requirement, that the question that Reb Yeshua ben Levi posed, and Reb Yeshua ben Levi is an older senior statesman, I myself, Reb Chanina, I myself thought of this question, and I'm so proud that I was zochet to ask the same question, or at least to think of the same question that Reb Yeshua ben Levi has now posed. So now, before we even address the question, we're going to do a little bit of history. And the Gemara says, Lememra Reb Yeshua ben Levi, Kashish, are you suggesting Reb Yeshua ben Levi is the older generation, he's the senior sage? And now Reb Chanina proudly says that I also thought of the same question. Remember the words Rebbe Chanina, not just Chanina. Lihiter Rebbe Chanina. Lishtoi shechlayim b'shabbos. So Reb Yeshua ben Levi tells a story that one time he was not well, and he asked Reb Chanina, tell me, can I go and drink shechlayim on Shabbos? Shechlayim is cress. Apparently when you mix it with water or with some other mashke and you drink it, apparently it has medical qualities to it. And therefore he asked Reb Chanina, can I drink this on Shabbos? Because after all, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to take medicine unless you're a chole sheyesh boi sakon. So that was his question. So Frey Timura, lishtois, to go and drink shechlayim with water or whatever. Pshita avadi, you're allowed to go and drink it. Did not we learned in the Mishnah, you can go and eat anything on Shabbos, and you can drink anything on Shabbos. Meaning, let's say a person has a terrible cold. So he says to his wife, what should I take now it's Shabbos? I can't take any Tylenol, I can't take any aspirin, I can't take any Advil. What should I do? So his wife says, you should go and take a good hot tea. And after that, when you're going to have the Suda, you're going to have some nice hot chicken soup on Friday night. Okay, so that these are going to help. In fact, after he takes the chicken soup, especially if there are a couple of knedel in it, and after the hot tea, he says, "Oh, you saved my life, Baruch Hashem, my cold has gone away, it's already, I'm on the road to recovery." Is there any shaila that you're allowed to do that? Of course you're allowed to go and eat, because everybody eats chicken soup, or everybody drinks tea on Shabbos. It's not a mashka miyuchad l'refuah. So apparently, drinking shechlayim mixed with cold water, hot water, or whatever, was also a beverage that even healthy people ate or drank. And that being the case, there's no shaila. So what's Reb Shua Belevi asking Reb Chanina? Says Yimara Ella, the real shaila was lishchoik v'lishtoy shechlayim b'Shabbos, to take the shechlayim and to crush it or to grind it up, which could be a shaila of tochein, which is of course one of the lametes malachas. So that's what he was asking, not whether you're allowed to drink it, but whether you're allowed to go and prepare it by taking that cress and mishing it and kratzing it and grinding it and crushing it and all the rest. So Reb Yimara Echidami, what's the case? Is this a cholish yesh by sakana? Mishashar, of course it's avad, it's mutter. Cholish yesh by sakana, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Vileka sakanta, and if there's no sakana, he just, you know, whatever, he just has some stomach ache or something, or a nose ache, which is bothering him, but it's not sakana. So mesa osir, so then what's the shayla? Of course it's osir. Well, what's your question? You can't go and do a melechas tochein if it's not a sakana. The truth of the matter, it was a sakana. What he's asking is, his real question was, when he was posing the issue to Reb Chanina, do you know whether this is an effective remedy? Because if it's an effective remedy, I feel like a cholam mesukan chas v'sholem, and therefore I'm ready to do the grinding and the crushing and whatever it needs to go and take this. However, if you're going to tell me it doesn't work anyway, that this is all fake news, this is not a real remedy, then of course I'm not going to do it. So therefore his shaila was really not so much of a halachic shaila, but was really more of a shaila involving medicine, as if he's asking the doctor, "Doctor, tell me, does this help or doesn't it help? If it helps, I don't need to ask the shayla lahalacha whether I can grind. I know that I'm a cholam mesukan, I feel it. The doctor told him he's a cholam mesukan, and therefore, that's the reason why I'm going to go and do the grinding. But only if it's an effective remedy. If you're going to tell me that this is worthless, I'm not going to chas v'sholem be mechal l'shabbos." And that was the shayla. Lo'olam d'ika sakanta, v'olchei kamei boyle, mi masya, does it help? Does it actually act as a refuah? The nechal alayu shabbata, that we should be mechal Shabbos. Or eloi masya, v'loi nechal alayu shabbata. Or maybe it doesn't help, and therefore we're not going to be mechal Shabbos. So, Freik Tiyamara, if this is a medical question, why is he asking Rabbi Chanina? Why isn't he asking a doctor? And for the Gemara, umayshna Rabbi Chanina, we shouldn't have baki b'refuah. Because in fact, Rabbi Chanina was a baki in refuah. Maybe he was a doctor. Maybe he was a part-time doctor. But he was a baki in refuah, and that's why Reb Shua ben Levi felt that Reb Chanina is competent to address such shaylos. How do we know that Reb Chanina was a baki in refuah? Diyam Reb Chanina, Mei oylam lo yisholani odom al makas pirda levona v'choyo. I've had many, many questions asked by many patients over the years, but no one ever asked me about a makas pirda levona. Pirda levona means a white mule. A white mule that gave a makkah, for instance, that gave a kick, or maybe took a bite, or some sort of damage. Nobody ever asked me that question, v'choya, and the person lived. Meaning that this is fatal. If, chas v'sholem, a person gets hit by one of these perda levonas, that's it, boys. There's nothing more to talk about. Ah, so we see that people, Reb Chanina is telling us, throughout his medical experience, I've had many other questions, but I've never had this question, because no one ever survives a makas pirda levona. Frey the Gemara, one second. V'ka chazin in the chaya. I know of cases, says the Gemara, where nebuch a person was kicked or bitten or whatever by one of these white mules, and guess what? And Baruch Hashem, he's alive and kicking, and he's walking around in besmedish, and he's learning the daf. What are you telling me? Every Gemara ema v'choyis. Don't say, Lo sholani odom al makas pirda levona v'choyot. but say v'chayis. V'chayis means nobody ever asked me the shaila and the maka, that for instance that bite or that kick was healed, because years later you can still see the mark on that person's body, or you can see the person's limb that was kicked. Unfortunately, the person remained a cripple or whatever. So v'chayis, there was never a permanent remedy to someone who received such a maka from a white mule. Freitimora, v'kachazin and demitzi. Even that is not true. I know of many cases, says the Gemara, of people that were unfortunately hit by the maka, by the pir de levana, and Baruch Hashem, they're walking around normally, and everything is healed, and everything seems to be fine. Says the Gemara, we're not talking about just any white mule. We're talking about besumkan inhu. The mules themselves are red. V'chivran reish karayu. But the ends of their feet, like their toes, those are white. So when people talk about white mules, we don't mean that the whole mule is white. The whole mule is red. Just the reish karayu, the ends of their feet, that's where they happen to be white. About those, if a person were chas v'shalom to go and get a kick, or a chvayis, or a hit, whatever, a bite from a red mule with the white toes or the white ends of his feet, that's the case where chas v'shalom, the person will never, ever be fully healed. He'll always have some sort of mark for the rest of his life. But anyway, all of that is fascinating. So Timon Mikol Mokim, the point of bringing all of this is Mikol Mokim Shema Mina Reb Chanina Koshish. One thing I see very clearly from this, Reb Chanina is the older of the two. Why did I bring this whole business with all this refuahs? Because remember, Reb Chanina started off the Gemara by saying, you see the question that Reb Shua ben Levi is asking. Reb Shua ben Levi is the Zokain, he is the senior sage. I, Reb Chanina, am much younger, but I'm proud to say that I was Mechavein. I also thought of the same question. Says the Gemara, we see from this that Reb Shua ben Levi was consulting with Reb Chanina, so apparently Reb Chanina is the senior sage. Now, just the fact that he asked him medical issues and no raya, because I'm sure many of you, just like I, have gone to doctors in the past who happen to be junior in age. So the fact that Reb Shua ben Levi is asking Reb Chanina, what do you think about the medical qualities of the shechlayim? Can I go and crush it and grind it on Shabbos? Does it work? Doesn't it work? What's the raya that Reb Chanina happens to be older? Reb Chanina could be younger, but he's a doctor, he knows medicine. So Rashi says that the raya is not from the fact that he asked the medical issues. The raya is from the fact that he called him Reb Chanina. That's why I told you, remember, in the middle of the Amid, for Omer Reb Yeshua ben Levi li hitter Rebi Chanina lishtoy shechlayim b'shabbos. Says Rashi, the custom at that time was that the younger Talmidim, or the younger sages, would go and refer to the older ones, and they would say Rebbe. But an older one, talking to the younger one, would not use the term Rebbe, he would just call him by his first name. So, if in fact Reb Chanina was younger than Reb Shua ben Levi should have said, Li Hitter Chanina, not Rebbe Chanina. The fact that he used the term Rebbe Chanina is the chassimin that Reb Chanina was in fact older than Reb Shua ben Levi. Says the Gemara, you have an excellent point. Elahochik Omar. What Reb Chanina told his Talmidim was, She'elo son, kishe'ele shel rishonim. That you just quoted the Shaila of Reb Shua ben Levi about Chofan Umeis, I want you to know, I already asked this Shaila already, this Shaila bothered me already 25 years ago. And so therefore, not that Reb Chanina is saying, I'm proud that I too asked the question that the sage Reb Shua ben Levi asked, but it's really in reverse. Reb Shua ben Levi is learning Gishmak, the Torah, in such a deep, analytical way that he was zoicha to ask the question that I was already bothered by years ago, which I already had that question. So therefore, he's the new generation, Reb Shua ben Levi. I'm the older one, and I'm so proud to see that the new Talmidim, they're asking the questions of, like, previous generations. Right, Yomar. I still don't understand the question. What's the Gemara saying now? Remember, we got kind of sidetracked with this discussion about medicine and about the white mules and the red mules. What's the question that Rabbi Shimon ben Levi posed? Rabbi Shimon ben Levi asked, what happens if the Kohen Gadol did the chafina? He scooped the ketores in his two hands, and then he put it into the kaf. Nebuch, after that, he passed away, and now a new Kohen Gadol took over. Can he use the old chafina, or does he have to go and start from scratch? That was the Gemara Shaila. So Rabbi Chanina said, I asked the same question. Frey Timur, did he really ask the same question? What is this referring to? This is referring to, again, a case, Nebuch the Kohen Gadol passed away. Here the Kohen Gadol already shechted the par, and he was already mekabel the dam of the par, and that as he's taking the dam to the Kodesh Kadoshim to go and spritz lefnai v'lefnim in front of the Oren Kodesh, guess what happens? Unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, the Kohen Gadol, passed away. So now, the skan takes over. Does the skan have to go and shecht a brand new par? Or can he take the dam of the pre-existing par, the one that was already geshochten by the earlier Kohen Gadol? So it's a machloikis, as we'll see on the Amid Beis. See, Gemara says, but Rav Chanina holds bepar v'lei bedamashul par, that the new Kohen Gadol, he can only go and take a brand new par. He cannot take the domishul par. In other words, he cannot take the remaining blood that remained after the shechita of the previous Kohen Gadol, but he's got to start from scratch and go and shecht his own par. Okay, so what does it have to do with our chafina? The same Rav Chanina holds that k'toyres shechofna koydim shechita sapar. If you took k'toyres and you did a chafina before the shechita, li'osav le'klum, because the sequence is the Kohen Gadol first shechts the par, he has someone being memaris, the blood, taking the blood and stirring it. Then the Kohen Gadol goes and does chafina of the ketores. And after he does the chafina, he puts it into the kli. After that, he's going to go and do the zrika sadam, and he's going to go and take the ketores lefnai v'lefnim. Ah, so therefore, Rav Chanina said, if you do it out of order, if you do the chafina before the shechita, is worthless, no good. Aha, so okay, so let's see what happened over here. The first Kohen Gadol did the Shechita. After he did the Shechita, he did the Chafina. After he did the Chafina, he took the Chafina and he put it into the Kaf. Then the Kohen Gadol passed away. A brand new Kohen Gadol takes over. The question of the Gemara was, can he take now the Kaf full of the Chafina of the Ketores of the previous Kohen Gadol and take it into the Kodesh Kedoshim? The answer is certainly no. Why is the answer certainly no? Because that same new Kohen Gadol is first, he has to go and take in the blood into the Kodesh Kedoshim, but he can't. Because Rav Chanina said, you can only go and do a brand new Shechita on a new par, you cannot take the pre-existing blood. Ah, so the new Kohen Gadol is going to have to do a new Shechita. So the Chafina that was done by the first Kohen Gadol preceded the Shechita of the new par. And Rav Chanina himself said, it's goonish, it's not worth a penny. And therefore, Avada, since he has to do a new Shechita, he's going to have to do a brand new Chafina. And that being the case, what was Rabbi Shimon ben Levi's question? Can the new Kohen Gadol go and take that Chafina into the Kodesh Kedoshim? The answer is a resounding no. You know why? Because even if there is no issue of taking the Chafina into the Kodesh Kedoshim, in other words, mitzad the Chafina itself, there's no problem. But the problem is the sequence. What do you mean? What means the problem with the sequence? Because since the new Kohen Gadol has to go and shecht a brand new par, because he cannot go and take the blood of the par into the Kodesh Kedoshim. Ah, so he's going to go and do a new shechita now, and now you're asking, can he take the old chafina? The answer is, of course he cannot take the old chafina. Because Rav Chanina said, keter shechofna, before the shechita is no good. And by definition, the chafina of the first Kohen Gadol is preceding the shechita of the second Kohen Gadol. So Ibazoi, he's going to have to do chafina over again. So what's the shaila? Says Igmori, absolutely right. Hachik Omar, what Rav Chanina meant to say is, since Rabbi Shimon ben Levi is asking this question, it's crystal clear that he holds bepar, he holds that you can go and take in not only a par, but you can even, the new Kohen Gadol can use the dam of the prior Kohen Gadol. Meaning, the new Kohen Gadol does not have to shecht a new par. He can take taking the blood that's remaining from the first par. Ah, that being the case, then we don't have to have a new shechita. We can use the old blood. And therefore, Rav Shmuel Levi is saying, since you don't have to do a new shechita, just like you can use the blood from the existing, from the previous shechita, so maybe I can use the ketores from the previous chafina. Zok yetzer b'chanina. Olamai desvirale. Based on his approach, in other words, based on his viewpoint, that par vafilu b'dama shel par, shelozei k'sheilas harishonim. That shayla is a real shtarka shayla, the type of shayla that would be asked by previous generations, by great Talmid Chacham. Okay, with this very lengthy introduction, bottom line, what's the halacha? Amar Papa. This really depends on another shayla. What other shayla is there? Ichoifin choizer v'choifin. We already spoke about this briefly 2-3 days ago, at the beginning of the parak. There's a question, and that is, we know that the Kohen Gadol has to do a chafina outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim. He scoops up the Torah in his hands and he puts it in the ladle. Now when he takes the ladle into the Kodesh Kedoshim, he puts down the machter. Remember, he's carrying the machter in one hand, he puts that on the floor. Can he take the ladle now and just pour out the Torah from the ladle into the machter? That would be a very simple thing to do. Or does he have to take the ladle and transfer its contents back into his hands? Says the Gemara, that's the shaila whether choifin v'choizer v'choifin or not. So it says Omer Papa, I choifin choizer v'choifin, if you hold that the Kohen Gadol lefnai v'lefnim has to do a second chafina, then chaverin nichnas b'chafina asai. Then there's no question that the new Kohen Gadol doesn't have to do a new chafina outside the Kodesh Kedoshim. He's going to do a new one anyway inside the Kodesh Kedoshim. So let him take the kaf that was left over by the first Kohen Gadol, take it into the Kodesh Kedoshim, and now he'll pour it from the ladle into his own hands. It'll make a brand new chafina. Oh, tomekayim chafina. If you hold it, you don't have to make a new chafina lefnai v'lefnim, then in fact, the question is right on mark. Rabbi Shimon Levi is asking a good question. Do we need to do a new chafina inside or not? Do we need that inside? He holds, ein choifin, choiz v'choifin. Does the new Kohen Gadol have to make a new chafina or not? Or can he just rely on the first chafina of the previous predecessor Kohen Gadol? It's only Rafuna Berei de Mishua that a papa. Says Rafuna Berei Mishua, in fact, I would look at it just the opposite. Adarab. I choifin v'choiz v'choifin lo yikonis acher b'chafinosoi. If you're telling me choifin v'choiz v'choifin that you have to do a brand new chafina, then I would say that if the Kohen Gadol passed away, then the new Kohen Gadol has to do a brand new chafina from scratch outside the Kodesh Kedoshim. Why? Because if you're going to go and tell me that he's going to take the chafina of his predecessor, the deceased Kohen Gadol, when he's going to spill out the contents of the ladle into his own hands, in all likelihood it's not going to come out precisely the same as the previous Kohen Gadol, because after all, the previous Kohen Gadol may have had slightly larger hands or slightly smaller hands, and therefore it's not going to work. So Avadi has to make a brand new chafina. He cannot rely on the chafina of the original Kohen Gadol. If he does not have to go and make a new chafina, all he has to do is pour out the contents on the gecholim in the machta in the kohen in the kodesh kedoshim. That's when you should ask the shayla. So now says the Gemara, this very question whether choifin choizer v'choifin oloi, this was a shayla that was posed in the Bismedish. And Toshima, and now we're going to bring part of the discussion that we had back on Daf Mem Zayin 2 days ago, where the Gemara was medayik. It said in the Mishnah, after it says that the Kohen Gadol was chofein with his hands, b'shtei yodov, gadol lefi gadloi, katan lefi katnoi, then it says the Mishnah, v'kachoisa midosa. Now what does that mean, kachoisa midosa? My love, g'shem she midosa mi b'chutz, kach midosa b'mefnim. Doesn't it mean that just like the Kohen Gadol had to be modeid, he had to go and measure the ketores by putting in his two hands and doing the chafina. That's the measure that you do. You don't measure it with a measuring cup. You measure it in your hands by putting the two hands in and scooping up the ketores and making sure that it's not heaping and it's not leveled off, but there's a drop more sticking out on the top of his two hands. Just like there's a midim b'chutz, kach midonim b'mfnem. So then you have to do the same measuring, the same chafina inside. So don't you have a right from our Mishnah that choifin v'choizer v'choifin? The Tumulot, you have no right. Dilmashim rotzalas is midoisa. Maybe the words v'kach choise midosa is coming to tell you that if the Kohen Gadol wants, what he can do is a few days before Yom Kippur, go and put his hands and scoop up the ketores in two hands. Go make sure it's done exactly, perfectly the way you're supposed to. And then take all of that ketores, put it in a measuring cup, see where it comes up to. It comes up exactly, 10 ounces, whatever it is. And now take the 10 ounces and manufacture a kli shareis that will hold exactly 10 ounces. Maybe that's the kai choysa midasa. Or inami, another pshat, shalei yechsev, shalei yoisir. The Kohen Gadol should be very careful to fill up his hands to the brim, but not more and not less. Well, it's not to the brim. Remember, we learned yesterday in the Gemara, it's not mechukois, not kedushois, but tefufois. I said tefufois means it's swimming a little bit on top, a drop on top, not more than that. So that's what it means, kachois midos. It should be exactly that amount, liyechsev, liyoisir. So we have no raya from our Mishnah whether chofein v'choizer v'choifein. It's Toshima. So let's try to bring another raya. Keitzer u'oisa. Now the Gemara is telling us how we're up to the Amud Beis Rabbeisa. Mem Tes Amud Beis, top line. So Gemara, Keitzer u'oisa. How does the Kohen Gadol do the ketores inside the Kodesh Kedoshim? Says the Gemara. Now remember, the Kohen Gadol comes in with his two hands full. One hand he's holding in the right hand the machta with the coals. In the left hand he's holding the ladle with the ketores. So what does he do? So Rashi explains, he takes the machta and he puts it on the ground. And now, the simple method would be, take the ladle full of ketores and just pour it out on the machta. But that's not what it says in the Braisa. And the Braisa says, Oiches is a bozach b'roish etzba oisav. He has to go and take the bozach. Bozach means the kaf, the ladle. He holds it with the edges of his fingers. Rashi uses the expression, he uses his gudel, his shnei gudlov, his two thumbs. V'yesh oimrim b'shinav, others say with his teeth, which is a little bit difficult, because we said a couple of days ago that you wouldn't do this in front of a melech bas v'dam, said in front of the melech malchei amlochem, certainly not. So presumably, this shinav is in a less gross fashion than we suggested back 2 days ago. And what does he do? Umala b'gudloi, and he pushes up with his good, like we just said from the Rashi, gudloi with his thumbs, atche megas l'bein atzili yodim, until it reaches between his elbows, and then he goes and turns the ladle over. Now, exactly how this works is, as the Gemara is going to say in another moment, an avoda kasha. This, you have to be extremely agile, and it's almost like a gymnastic or acrobatic feat. But basically, the way it works is, and if you want, the art scroll has a very nice footnote, and you can read through it, but the Kohen Gadol takes his two arms, and he puts them together. And he puts them in front of him like this, putting the two arms together, and he picks up the ladle. Now, you know what a ladle looks like. You have the cup part of the ladle down below, the spoon part, and then, of course, you have this tall thing sticking out, known as the handle. So what does the Kohen Gadol do? He takes his two hands. In his two hands, he's holding the ladle with his handle facing himself, and slowly but surely, Barashi Etzba Oisev Ubegudlov, with his fingers, he starts tilting the ladle towards himself until the handle, slowly but surely, until now it was perpendicular and erect, and now slowly but surely it's coming down towards him until the handle is now going to be flat on his outstretched arms. When that happens, now the contents of the ladle will now start coming out, and they'll come out into his hands. So he has to do this in a very, very careful, slow, meticulous way, so that as the handle keeps on falling towards him, how is the handle going to fall towards him? Because he's pushing it slowly but surely with Rashi Etzbosa with his fingers. At the same time, the contents are going to start spilling out shortly. They're going to spill into his two hands. So that's the Lashon. Again, looking at the starting from the top line, Ketzur Oisa, Ichis is a Bozok, Rashi Etzbosa. He takes the kaf in the ends of his fingers, V'yesh Omer Mishinov, some say with his teeth, umal begudloi, and he pushes it with his goodloi with his thumbs, ad shemegas lebein atzili yodov, until the handle reaches to the point of his elbows, which are connected together in front of him. V'choizer umachziro teichofnav, and as a result, the contents of the ladle will now come once again into his hands. V'tzovra, and now he heaps it on the machta. In other words, now that it's in his hands, now he takes the ketores from his hands, v'tzovra, and he heaps it onto the machta, which has the gecholim, which has the colds in it down below on the floor, so that the usher will not come up all at one time. By heaping it on top of the colds, it's only going to slowly burn and slowly rise. The Yesh, I remember there's another version, Mephazer, that in fact he should not go and heap it on the coals, but he should really scatter and spread it over the coals. So fakert, so that the Oshin should go up as quickly as possible. The Zui Avoida Koshim Migdash, this was the most difficult Avoid in the Migdash of transferring the contents of the ladle to his two hands. Frank Timur, Zuhi Vesuloi, this is the only Avoida Kasha. Vo'ika Malika, the fact that the Koyin has to go and do a Malika Sa'oif by taking the small pigeon in the palm of his right hand and taking his thumb and then making an incision in the back of the neck, that's a very difficult malach as well, a difficult avoida. Vo'ika Kmitza, every time to do the Kmitza perfectly, taking out the three. Now, with Soles, we saw in the Gemara the other day, is not so difficult. But if you're talking about a kmitza involving a mincha that was previously processed in a machvas or a marcheshes, and it hasn't been ground into small little particles, but rather all you did was that you folded it in half and then folded it again in quarters and you put it into your hand, and now you have to try to somehow or other use your thumb and your pinky to remove that part which is protruding from the two sides, that was also an avoid a kasha. Says Igmar, you're right. There are in fact three difficult avoidos, one involving Malika, one involving the Chafina that we just spoke about, and one involving the Kmitza. Anyway, fascinating Braisa. What do I see crystal clearly from this Braisa? Shmamina Choyfein v'choyzer v'choyfein shmamina. There's no question about it that the Kohen Gadol, when he goes lefnai v'lefnim, he has to do a second Chafina from the beginning, as if nothing happened previously. He did his previous chafina outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim, put the chafina of the Ketores into the ladle, but now inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, he has to reverse it and take all the contents of the ladle and spill it out into his two hands. Shmamina. Now let's go back to that original question that we had with Rab Chanina. Iboilu, shochat umeis. What happens? The Kohen Gadol shechted his own carbon, his par, and then he passed away. Mahu she konis acher b'damai. The new Kohen Gadol who has arrived on the scene, should he go and shecht a brand new par, or can he use the par of the original Kohen Gadol and just bring in the blood? Mi amrinan, do we say, it says in the pasuk that the Kohen Gadol bezois yovei harnel hakodesh, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh, befar ben bakar lechatos v'ayeli oila. So it says, again, bezois yovei harnel hakodesh befar. Mi amrinan befar v'afilu b'damishal par. Do we say that befar includes damishal par? In other words, the life of this par was in the blood. That's the dam hanefesh. That's the real chayis, the chiyus of the par. So therefore, you can, if you don't have the par because it was already geshochten by the first Kohen Gadol, the new Kohen Gadol brings the damishal par. Oy dimu, do we say bepar v'loy bedamishal par? No. Each Kohen Gadol has to have his own par. And if the first Kohen Gadol passed away, you got to start again. The new Kohen Gadol has to shecht his own par. So we have a machloikas. Rab Chanina oymer bepar v'loy bedamishal par. That was Rab Chanina that we had on the Omid Aleph. He says you can only take in the par, you cannot go and take the damishal par, meaning that the new Kohen Gadol has to shecht his own par. Rish Lakishnam, no. You don't have to shech the brand new par. You can use the dam from the previous kohen gadol. So you see, there was a machlekes. As Eisvei Reb Ami Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, Freit Reb Ami Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, Nimnin U Moishchin Yedein Mimenu Ad She Yishchot. When it comes to the Korban Pesach, the halacha is that a person can add himself to the registry, or he can remove himself from the registry until the Korban Pesach was actually geshachted. However, once it's geshachted, it's already too late. Vim Isa, if you're telling me that bepar vafilu bedamishal par, that a par includes the blood of the par after the shechita, so why don't you say the same thing with gabe the se that's being used to go and shecht for the Karm Pesach, that se vafilu domishal se, vim Isa achi yizrek mi boyole, that the se is still alive, so to speak, even though it's already been geshachten, but we still have the blood. So allow a person to be moishech yodov, either to join the registry or to leave the registry until this man of Zerika. Every morshani hasim dechsev miyois miseh mechiyusa deseh. The Lashon HaPasuk is the miyimat habayis miyois miseh. So the Gemara dashes the word mihiyois as if it says mechiyois. In other words, with a ches instead of a hey. So mechiyusa deseh. As long as the seh is alive, you can go and join and be a nimna. Or you can leave the minoy. However, that's a special din. It's got to be that the seh is alive. But there's no such din by the par, even though the par is no longer alive, as long as they still have the blood. Maybe I can still use the blood. Masamai, which I have another kasha. Halachi is lagabe, if a person has a brand new peter chamar. Peter chamar means the firstborn of a chamar. How are you poida peter chamar? The Torah says you have to use a seh. Or peter chamar tifte beseh. And if it has to be a seh, ein poidin loy be'egel, you cannot use a calf. V'loy b'chai, you can't use a deer or a wild animal. V'loy b'shchuta, you can't use an animal which is already geshocht. V'loy b'treifa, v'loy b'kelayim, v'loy b'kevi, ele b'seh. It's got to be a seh. What's the kasha? The kasha is a case of the shchuta. So what it's geshochten? Didn't we say if you hold the bepar, vafilu bedamishal par, so you see that the dam of a par is just like the par itself. So even if I shechted the seh, that should still be okay. Why can't I use the geshochten the seh for purposes of the pigeon? Every marshani hosam the aleph says semi pesach. I have a gzeira shavah. Here it says by the Korban Pesach that you have to go and use a seh, a zocher tamim yilechem, a zocher, a seh ben shana. It's got to be a zocher and you use for the Korban Pesach. So here too, for purposes of the pigeon, petach hamor, you have to have a peh, petach hamor tifta beseh. So just like by the Korban Pesach, it's got to be alive. By the Korban Pesach, it's not just that it's got to be a live seh, but it's got to be up to a year, it's got to be a zochar, it's got to be a tam. And there is no such din legabe the case of the petach hamar. So you see, we don't learn seh seh. Says Yimar Tamaloyma Tifta Tifta Riba. The Torah used the expression tifta a couple of times to go and tell you that in the very same pasuk, we have the Torah Ora Shalem, pasuk number Beis, V'chol Petach Hamor, Tifta Beseh. And then it says again at the end of the pasuk, Tifta. So since V'im Loy Tifta Varaftoy. So you have a couple of times the word Tifta in the pasuk. So that's Marba, even if it's not a Zohar, not a Tam, and not a Ben Shana, as long as it's a Seh. Zokti Yimara, itifta tifta riba for the kulinami. So why don't we even include the case of a shchutza? And for that matter, include an egel, metachayim, metatreifim, metakalayim, tifta tifta riba. So Yimara, imkain semai hanilei. If that's the case, then you're opening up the floodgates. What does seh come to tell you? Seh comes to tell you it's got to be a seh. And I learned from Korban Pesach that it's got to be a live seh. And therefore you cannot use a shchutza, even though you can use a seh, which is older than a ben shana, and even if it's an akeva, and even if it's not a tam. So we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai, and Mi'achem to be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Brocha v'atzlocha, zayi gemecht.